Joshua chapter 4, verse number 1. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. And ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. And Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of man. Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? That ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd stir something in us. Help us to understand, Lord, the importance of memorials, the importance of revisiting key places, important places in our own individual life. And Lord, the importance of memorials as we celebrate and the existence of this country. And may our hearts be stirred with these things, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. In the story we read, a miraculous event took place in this passage. God brought his people from the wilderness into Canaan land in grand style. The priests of Israel carried the Ark of the Covenant upon their shoulders and marched straightway into the Jordan River. The waters parted as they went, and they stood, the water stood firm, the priests stood firm in the midst of the river while the people passed over. Now we know this story, but act like you haven't heard it before. Let me say it again. Jehovah God parted the waters of the Jordan River, stood up the waters on the left hand and on the right hand, and over 1 million Jews marched through this grand aqua canyon on dry ground. Now, folks, this is one of the greatest miracles of the New Testament or Old Testament. This is, and certainly in the lifetime of those that were present, it was the greatest miracle thus far of their lifetime, an event that I believe bolstered their courage and increased their faith as they were getting ready to march into Canaan land and begin to claim the land that God had given them. Now, an event like this, you say, preacher, an event like this could never, ever be forgotten. Oh, yes, it could. Oh, yes, it could. Have you ever been there in that moment where you've seen something and you'll think to yourself, there's no way I'd ever forget this? And then years later, somebody mentions it, and you say, wow, you're right, I was there. You know, it's been years since I've thought of that. That's how we are. Unfortunately, that's the way a lot of times our minds work. We stand there and watch a miracle, and our faith is bolstered, and our courage increased, and we think, I'll never forget this moment. And then if we do not purposefully go back and revisit that moment, pretty soon we get caught up in all of the things in life and we lose what that event gained us. This is the story of the 12 stones. God had done a miracle there, an amazing miracle. Now the priests could have marched out with the Ark of the Covenant. God could have closed the river and that would have been the end of that, but God wasn't done yet. He stops as the last person leaves. He stops before he lets the priests give up their ground, and Joshua commands a member of each of the tribes of Israel to go back down to where the priests stood firm, in the midst of the Jordan, and each one of them were to secure a large stone, and they were to put this stone upon their shoulder. So we know by the way they carried it, they didn't come out with 12 pebbles. They found some good-sized stones, and they put them on their shoulder because they were going to use these things to build a memorial. And the purpose of it is explained in the command to do it. He said there's going to be a day when these stones will be looked upon by your children and your grandchildren. And they're going to ask this question, what mean ye by these stones? And then he said, then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. So what these were there for was to allow a generation who was not there to see that miracle be told the story of that miracle, because they would ask the question, why are these stones here? What's the significance of these 12 stones stacked at this place? And that would remind the ones that were there to tell the story to the ones who were not there. And then later on, as generations passed by, no one would have been left that would have been there. But the older generation would have been told by those who were there, who then could tell it to their children. God did not want Israel to forget the miracle that he performed on that day. Now, folks, let's take this 4th of July service and let's go back and let's look at some memorials. Let's understand the significance and the importance of memorials in our life. If we do not on purpose take the time to visit and revisit certain things that have happened in our lives, then you know what? What God did in our hearts at that time is going to be lost along with the memory of it. Let me just talk about America for a minute. We are a nation of monuments and a nation of memorials. And could I say this? I'm glad we are. I think our forefathers understood from the very beginning the importance of preserving for future generations the stories of events that happened and the miracles that God performed in the birthing of this nation. How many of you went to the very first year, or maybe the last time, when we took a group out to Washington, D.C. to do the Operation Think of It? Did you go on one of those two trips? We spent an entire weekend surrounded by memorials and learning the significance of those memorials. And then what a treat this was to get to be there on Memorial Day weekend, when many folks who did not come just to look at a memorial, but who came with the memories of the events of those memorials, the stories that they could stand and tell us of wars and victories and miracles and deliverance that God has given to this nation. I think I don't use this phrase lightly, one of the most life-changing weekends of my life was the very first trip we took to Washington, D.C. 61 of our church members loaded up on a bus and a van and headed out there and stood there, and all day on Saturday and all day on Sunday, and those 2 days we were able to shake the hands and look over 16,000 veterans in the eye and thank them for the service to our country and gift them an appreciation gift, the booklet that we wrote, the Ron Allen booklet, and be able to thank them. Me and my wife, the very first day, got to stand there by the World War II memorial and watch busload after busload of World War II survivors offloaded. We were the first ones there to greet them and got to listen to them tell the stories, and we didn't rush our time with them, and got to watch many of them, that humble generation, by the way. There was no braggadocious. There was a great humility, almost an awe that we would be there to say thank you. Many of those men wept and said, you've been the first person ever that's thanked me for going over and fighting the war. And we spent our time interacting with them. We spent our time with these living memorials, and then looking at the stone memorials. And all of you that were there, you know what? Everything that we felt, we're starting to feel again in the remembering of that. And all of that emotion. And I mean, we did that all day Saturday. We did that all day Sunday. And I'm going to tell you something. I was just literally, emotionally wrung out. And then at the conclusion of our last Monday afternoon, we packed everything up and drove over to Arlington Cemetery. And as a group, we marched up to watch the changing of the guard at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And I don't think anybody stood there with dry eyes and got to watch that. Say, preacher, why are you touched by this? I'm touched because I visited the memorials. What is this thing of patriotism? What is patriotism? I've always given what I believe is the best definition of patriotism I've ever heard. I believe patriotism is the natural emotion of a properly educated mind. It's the natural emotion of a properly educated mind. The people that aren't stirred about our country are not well read. They didn't take history very seriously. There's some of you young people, you know, dad wants to slow down, grandpa wants to slow down, tell you a story about a monument, and all you want to do is get to Walmart. You don't want to hear another story about a bunch of things that happened a long time ago. But you know what? It's a shame, because that's not just a story. Those are real people that sacrificed so that you have the freedom to go to Walmart. Stop, slow down. Stop rolling your eyes every time grandpa tries to share something with you, or your mom and dad says, you know what, we're on vacation, yeah, we're going to do some fun things, but we're going to stop by and we're going to visit some of our nation's memorials. I'm glad that we've taken in our lifetime the time to do those things, and because of that, my heart is touched and my heart is stirred. And when I think about this flag and we sing the Star Spangled Banner, I'm not just saying words and my mind's not drifting away, but my heart is touched because I've taken the times to visit the memorials. Boy, I'll tell you folks, listen to me, plan some trips. In every trip that you take, in every vacation that you take, you would be well served to take part of that vacation and take your children to see some things that will teach them about the roots and the price that was paid so that we can have the country that we have. You see, those of us that are patriotic, and I mean really, not just say we are, but are patriotic, when our president got up a few weeks ago and said that, I mean, I'm ready to get my gun and storm Washington.
Yes, sir.
I mean that. It's something stirs inside of me. You know, men bled and died, and that man, as far as I'm concerned, spit on their graves. Spit on their memory. And he's willing to hand a nation over to socialism when thousands and tens of thousands of men and women have died for liberty and freedom. And he's willing to turn the whole thing over to a socialistic country. And I don't know what it's going to take. I was talking to a veteran today and had this discussion with him. And he said this. Wow, you talk about words. Listen to this from a man that spent a career in the armed forces. And a veteran talked to me today, and he told me this. He said, watch this. He said, over 21 years, I watched the horizon. We watched the horizon on the oceans. We looked up in the air and guarded our borders. And he said, we were guarding against the enemy coming and destroying our country. And all the time, watch this, this old veteran, and all the time, the enemy was making camp right in our own backyard. Well, I'll tell you something. That ought to stir you. And so we have, our nation has its 12 stones. I mean this, young person. You know what? Pick up a book that teaches you something about the history of this nation. Come on. All right? Time to put away the video games and the comic books. Go to the library and pick up a book and read something about the price that has been paid so that you can sit here tonight a free American. Read about it. Have your heart stirred about it. Our nation has its 12 stones. Let me say this. And let me see. John and Nathan, why don't you go back in my office and get the stump pulpit. It's in there, okay? I think I got it cleared off and ready to be brought in here. Not only does a nation have its 12 stones, but you know what? A church has its 12 stones. What do you mean, preacher? I mean, there ought to be some things that are kept around Blessed Hope Baptist Church that is here for the purpose from time to time of showing to our children so that we can tell the story of the memorial. You know, some of you have a great heart and a great appreciation and love for this ministry. You know why? You understand a little bit about the price that was paid so that you can sit here tonight in this ministry. The people that are flippant or uncaring about this ministry, you're that way for the same reason that you're flippant and uncaring about your United States of America. Ignorance. You don't care. You don't consider the price that was paid by those who came before you. We keep this thing around here. Thank you, gentlemen. That's fine. We keep this thing around here. I have it in my office from time to time. Like on a night like tonight, we bring it out. And we do so because I keep it around here because it gives us an opportunity to tell a story. My dad was called into the gospel ministry at 30 years of age, saved at 26. My dad's testimony is the testimony of many, many men that were preaching of his generation. Talk to them. You think that all of them had the same thing happen to them. Most of them were on into their life. They weren't teenagers. They were adults. Many of them married, starting a family, young men. And God saved them, and within a short amount of time, thrust them in the gospel ministry, 1960s, 1970s. I'll tell you what I believe. Now I look back at that. I think I've shared this with you, but I think our Bible colleges, our denominational Bible colleges, has gotten so liberal that God just finally said to those that were school of the prophets, supposed school of the prophets, I don't need you. I'll just reach out here in the highways and byways and in the fields, and I'll just call to preach a bunch of people and with little or no education, and thrust them into the gospel ministry, and we'll see a revival. We don't need your stinking schools. And that's really what God did. I mean that. You talk to almost anybody that's in their 70s or 80s, late 60s, 70s or 80s, they're preaching, and they almost have identical testimonies. And God just did a work of grace. My dad was saved in an American Baptist church, was ordained to preach in a Southern Baptist church. The first church he took was an American Baptist church. Then he made a grave error and started listening to Oliver B. Green on the radio and reading books by John R. Rice and going to the Sword of the Lord conferences, and decided, you know what, this denomination, by the way, American Baptist Convention was and is a charter member of the National Council of Churches, which is a member of the World Council of Churches that's working for one thing and one thing only, and that's a one world government. And so it amazes me. This is crazy. We fought our way out of the denominations, and now, Brother Joe, we got a bunch of independent fundamental Baptists that are going back and joining the denominations. Well, if they're that confused, I tell them, go on back in. I'm serious. It'd be less confusing. I'd like to be able to pull up in front of a church, say independent fundamental, and be what everybody used to know it was. And some of you young men need to hear this. See, you weren't there, and you won't ask the stories, and you won't listen. You want to be like Rehoboam. You want to get with all your peers. And you want to get their knowledge and their take on it. You know, and so you're surrendering ground that was fought for with the blood of Pastor Ross and other men like him. And you're selling it away. Don't listen, y'all can decide that you're going to be ashamed of being an independent fundamental Baptist, but I'm not. It's like y'all want to be ashamed of being American, and like our president traveling all over the world apologizing for America. I'm not apologizing for America. I'm not apologizing for the men that carved out a movement that I believe we're going to get to heaven that saved our country. I believe it withheld judgment for our country for a generation. I'm not apologizing for that. Stop reading evangelicals. And the next young preacher I see walking around with a book written by an evangelical, I'm going to knock it out of his hand and slam him up against the wall in Christian love. I'm sick of it. Well, I can eat the bones and I can eat the meat and spit out the bones, and you know what? You watch them. Run into them a year later. They've developed an appetite for the bones. About a year later, they're liking them bones they used to spit out. You start reading Calvinists, you'll be one. You start reading evangelicals, you'll be one. You start reading their methodology, and next thing you know, you're going to be hypercritical of what we do and how we do it, and all of a sudden you know so much, and you don't know anything. I don't read any of their. I'm not interested in anything they've got to say. Amen. All right, Brother Derek. Amen. Just thought I wanted to welcome you home here, brother. Amen. He likes this stuff. All right, good. No, I'm serious. Yeah, you folks, stop it. Get off their stupid websites. Throw their stinking books away. Come on. Have a weenie roast. Just burn them all up. Just do what the book of Acts did. You know, there's books that ought to be read, and there's books that ought to be burned. Amen. Come on. Now just stick with the old paths. Don't get confused in this stuff. My dad walked into the pulpit there and began to preach the gospel. And he told me, and this is his words, not mine. He said, I was dumber than a box of rocks. He said, I knew enough Bible to preach salvation. People start getting saved. Amen. Then they wanted to grow, so I had to get to studying so I could figure out how to help them grow. For two and a half, three years, literally, folks, revival broke out in a little church. And people were getting saved and baptized. And they were tearing up ground behind and getting ready to build on. And then a core group of denominationally minded people that sat in that church and fought against it, had one of those little famous denominational church business meetings. You know, my dad's been there for 3 years. He comes in on a Wednesday night and he thinks there's a bunch of visitors there. It's business meeting night. Come to find out, they're not visitors, they're members. He just hadn't seen them in 3 years. But guess what? They didn't have their constitution set up right, so you had a bunch of pagans being able to not attend church for 3 years, come in and vote about the direction of the church. There's a reason we set things up the way we set them up around here. Amen. I think Dad learned his lesson. He said, let's set things up different. And so, you know, if you come here and you're busy and you're serving and you're tithing and you got an opinion, good. If you won't tithe and you won't show up half the time, I'm not much interested in what you have to say about much of anything. Amen, it is good. It is good. Okay, yeah, everybody wants to be an armchair quarterback now. By the way, pray for Brother. I'm going to say this because I want our church praying for it, and I don't want you gossiping about it. I don't want you praying about it. Brother Clancy's starting to go through it over there. Guess what? He's finding out not everybody that showed up in these early months claimed they wanted what he thought they wanted once. You know, same junk they pulled in the past on other pastors, now they're starting to pull on him. And he's going to have to go to war with it. He's going to have to go through the same fire that Robert Ross went through. He's going to have to go through the same fire Jerry Ross and Cheryl Ross went through. And you know what? It's good for him. But it's no fun. You're going to have to figure out there's a bunch of folks floating around. And they've been here forever. The face has changed. The character traits are the same. You know what? They're not interested in following a pastor, not interested in following a vision. They go from church to church, and they're a thorn in the pastor. They're a diotrephes. They're a thorn in the pastor's side. And all they want to do is cause trouble, and all they want to do is dictate. They're not there to learn and sit and follow and serve together and they don't work for unity. They work, you know, it's the same junk. It's always going to be there. He might as well earn his stripes while he's young. Amen. But pray for him. He's going through it right, having to deal with some things. I hope the families get some sense and change and get on board. But what he's going to have to learn as a young pastor is, you know what? Guess what? You don't always get to keep everybody. People have to make some decisions. And I'll go over there and burn that church down before it comes liberal. See, we got the deed in our office there. So if I want to go burn it down, I'll go burn it down. Amen. Yeah. I may slip over there on a Sunday night and we might have an amazing revival like they've never seen before. Come on. Amen. Oh, but preacher, I read an evangelical book on how to deal with that. Yeah. Come on now. Amen. That's good. I like to see some of you happy and some of you nervous. Amen. Church has its 12 stones. My dad in those waning years, in those waning months when the fire was hot, would stand behind his pulpit and say, if I can't preach the word of God as it's written boldly from this pulpit, I'll find some stump to go preach from. But I'm preaching the Bible. And they tried to vote the church back into the American Baptist Convention, tried to vote dad out of the pulpit, they got the church voted back into the convention. Didn't have enough votes because he had too many converts to get him out of there. But He said, I'm not pastoring American Baptist Church. I've chosen my path. And so he tendered his resignation. And I've told you all about the conversation on the way home in the car. Real quiet. We didn't know what was going on. We were out playing during that business meeting. That's what kids do. They go out and play during business meetings. And what my little mind could recollect, Mom might have more of the story than I do, but all I remember of the entire conversation on the way home is her saying this, what are we going to do? And Dad saying, I don't know. That's all I remember. God knew. God knew. And next Sunday, they got up and said, "If not only are we rid of Pastor Ross, but if this the type of church he wanted is the type of church you want, you need to hit the road too." And people started calling my dad. And so finally, they talked him into showing up at Bob Soybe's house. And folks, you know this story. Maybe you young people don't. Maybe you, even if you know it, you need to hear it again. And they said, show up one Sunday. Just come meet in my living room, Bob Swaby, some of the men, Charles English, preacher, come just one Sunday, and let's just see what God does. He walked in that living room, and 34 people were there waiting to hear the Word of God preached. Dad did not know, but Bob Swaby, I think it was, made the pulpit, if I remember right, went out there and hooked a chain and dragged it out of the ground back behind his house and kind of cleaned it up. You'd have to know Bob, kind of cleaned it up. There was still some sap dripping down it and some little bit of dirt in the roots. And amen. I always tell this, that, you know, Dad was not really a guy that preached and slapped the pulpit a lot. But that morning he was. We thought he was excited. He was killing ants. The ants were crawling up, crawling over. We're going to stand on the Bible here, folks. Bless the Lord. Yes, we are. Glory. And, Now, listen. You say, preacher, that's a great story. Yeah, I know. And this morning, we get to live in America, and this morning, I didn't set the alarm. It's nice every once in a while just have a day. And they got up, made no plans for the 4th. Just made no plans. And did some yard work, and then after that, I had to run to the office, do a couple things, get the air turned on, grab my computer, rode over on my motorcycle. And, that was a blessing. I'd share that. That's a testimony right there. Man. But, it's back on the road. Brother Klein, Brother Reiser, some of them decided while I was out of town this last week, they were getting my motorcycle. And a motorcycle shop in our area that will remain unnamed unless you ask me after the service, and I'll tell you which one it was. Looked at it, diagnosed the problem, told me I needed to spend $1,200 to get it fixed. Brother Klein took it over to his house, took the battery out, looked at it, put a new battery in, drove it back to Brother Reiser's. So somebody, I think, was trying to steal my bike when they offered to buy it for parts for $300. But anyway, you can tell I'm not bitter about it at all, you know. So they cleaned it all up and got it ready for me. And on the way home, I took the long way home. Just because if you have a motorcycle, you always want to take the long way home. And watch this, watch it. And I come back up and take off north of town and cut across to the corner and come back and go into PV Cemetery and visit Dad. And you say, preacher, that's not proper to say. Oh, shut up. I went to visit my dad. Everybody's so psycho-spiritual sometimes, I can't say everything without somebody coming to a verse with me. But I don't think you should talk to the dead. Well, then stay away from me and you won't have to hear it, all right? Stop coming to me with some weird verse, all right? I think it's okay if I go out there and talk to... Watch this. Listen, folks. That's become one of my 12 stones. What are you saying? What's this all about, preacher? There ought to be some places you go from time to time, just hits a reset button in your life. Okay, maybe this church will go liberal, but it's not going to go liberal while I'm pastor. I'll fight y'all. I mean, I'd fight every one of you. I love you with all my heart, but we're not going that way. We're not. Oh, preacher, you're just too narrow-minded. Yep, I am. It's about that narrow right there. That's how narrow. It's about narrow. I'm gonna stay narrow-minded. If you were more well-read, Problem is, you're reading everything but this.
Yeah.
Okay. And you got commentaries? Yeah, they're in there. What, in your office? Yeah, they look nice. Up there, it makes me look like I'm educated. I got books in there. Why don't you just read this? I'd like to take some of you and put you on a deserted island with the King James Bible for 12 months and no internet access and no evangelical books. You'd probably leave that island 12 months of fundamentalists. Amen. Yeah, I'm not against reading what other men have studied and God's given them if I feel like I can trust them. But honestly, I'm kind of just enamored with this book right here. I think this book says a lot about itself. And what I'm saying is this, folks. Now, young people, we bring this out from time to time. You know why? Because I want to tell that story. You know why? Because some of you that are fussing about all the standards and all the different things and all the... You're the same. You're becoming the same crowd Dad had to fight over there at Providence. Okay, I mean, come on now. We got a little Providence in here. Got a little bit of Providence growing in here. Okay, watch it. Come on now. And so we have 12. You know what? Just reset buttons. Every one of you ought to go back and revisit some places where God did some miraculous things in your life. Once a year, at least, I'll find a reason to drive up north of Brazil, Indiana, and drive out in the country and drive to the Rock Run Baptist Church, pull in the parking lot there. And I told the story when we were out going out to... I don't know if I should tell this story again or not. I told the story when we were driving out the first time to our Operation Think event. I said, told them on the way there, I said, last week I went out to Rock Run Baptist Church. They used to leave the church unlocked. And wasn't that wonderful when we could leave church buildings unlocked? Oh, really? I used to be able to go there, walk right in the front door, open the door, walk in there and sit and weep and pray and clap my hands and have a Baptist-costal fit. Stand. I got it figured out. With a little bit of help, Jerry Purcell went over there with me, and we walked around the auditorium, and I know that I when I go there and I can get in, I can stand within probably 1 or 2 feet of where I knelt and receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I don't ever want to get away, too far away from that. I need to go back and see one of my 12 stones. I need to go back and visit that. And first time I went there, and they had to lock the church up because people breaking into church. It's crazy. Good. I mean, there used to be, you know, everybody growing up. I suppose there was time to time, almost anybody in here growing up got into a little meanness from time to time. But I'm going to tell you something. The idea of going on a church property, messing with a church building, are you kidding me? We had enough fear of God. We weren't. There was no way. Now people don't care. They've been taught there ain't a God. Who do they have to be afraid of? You know, they're just the latest designer model of a natural accident, an accident freak of nature, and no respect. And so I went, and the door was locked. And I thought to myself, it wasn't really a very high-tech door. And so I took my pocket knife out, reached in there, and went like that, and flipped it open. And when I did, alarms started going off. Alarms went off. So I'm thinking, we're so far out in the country, it's going to take a while for the police to get here, so I might as well look around, you know. And then after a few minutes, I got real nervous and thought they could get here quicker than I think. So anyway, yeah. Then I got worried later on. I thought, what if they got, like, cameras in there? I mean, I went home literally and turned on the Channel 2 News. I'm waiting, you know, in case... A man was photographed breaking into the Rock Run Baptist Church, and if you know this man, there I am staring at the camera, you know. So I haven't done that since then, and young people, you should never break into locked churches. You should never. I've come to full repentance on that. Woe is me. Don't ever do something like that. Listen. I mean this. God might just need some of you to go back and visit some places. We need to go back every once in a while and just have God hit some reset buttons in our life. Preacher, I got saved a long way away from here. Well, you know what? Maybe you're just overdue for a trip that direction.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Well, I can remember it. I know. The Israelites thought they could too, but God said, get the 12 stones and build a monument.
Yes,
yeah. So I'm going to tell you, am I wrong? You can read about Gettysburg, but I dare you to go there and tell me that what you felt reading about it was the same thing you feel standing there. You can read about our National Mall, but I dare you to go there. You can read about Arlington Cemetery, but I dare you to go there. The things you felt reading it will not hold a candle to the things you feel seeing it. And there is something about holy ground. And there is something about going to where God did something amazing and marvelous. And going there and standing there. Young people, listen to me. You ought to corner Charles English. You ought to corner my mom. You ought to corner the Maoris and some of the Townsleys and some of these other folks that have been around here a while. And just like you ought to ask Grandpa, hey, Grandpa, tell me something about our country. Some of these members, you ought to say, tell us something about Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Every one of these folks carry different memories than what I would carry. And every one of them have stories to tell. And the reason, I mean this. You say, preacher, you need to hear me. Some of you have such a flippant attitude about this ministry. Such a lack of anything that even resembles loyalty or love towards this. I mean, it's a place you're using as long as you can get something out of it before you head down the road to go somewhere else and be selfish. Why don't, before you decide you need to try to change something, you go back and find out the wars that were fought and why they were fought and why things are the way they are. Any Johnny come lately new generationer can come along and sit in the seat of the scorner and nitpick about a church like this. But you're showing evidences that you don't have a well-educated mind. I mean, you know what? I pull into this place, this is special. I walk through this building. I touch the walls. I'm not trying to, listen, I'm not trying to turn the building into something you worship. I'm just saying, there's everything around here reminds me of something. Amen? Glad for all you new folk. You need to learn some things. Glad for all you young people with your new ideas. Before you go around spouting off what you would do different, maybe you ought to do a little, maybe you ought to just hush up and sit at the feet of some of these older folks and listen. What happened when our president said, change, and all the young people ran to vote for him? Let me tell you who ran and voted for him. A bunch of ignoramuses that had never studied the history of our country. Or, by the way, this is what makes me mad and we'll be done here. Or, they went to history class, but a bunch of liberals have taken graffiti and desecrated the 12 stones. Nothing's more wicked than the rewriting of the history of our country. I mean, the men that I grew up as heroes, now they are portraying them as being whoremongers and pagans and atheists, and they're completely, listen, there's nothing sacred. They're going after everything and everybody that did anything wonderful, and they spend their whole life trying to desecrate their memory. Every victory that we have, they want to turn it into a story of defeat. And even when they can't do that, they want us to be put on a guilt trip for winning. So you got a bunch of young people that are, when it comes to the history of this country, have no idea. And some Johnny come lately popped out of nowhere, walks around, puts the word change in front of them, gives them some, you know, power of positive thinking speeches, and next thing you know, everybody, a bunch of young people, uneducated, runs to the polls. Well, I'm going to tell you what we better do is we better spend some time learning and thinking and being thankful for what we have. Let's bow our hearts and our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, your blessing upon this 236th birthday of a nation. And Lord, this is a Gentile nation that you have shown great mercy upon and great patience with, and have even anointed with much of your blessing for these years. God, forgive us. Forgive us our haughtiness and our pride. Forgive us our thinking that somehow God owes America something. You've been far more gracious than what we have deserved, and we do pray for mercy, and we pray for revival. We pray for turning back to God. But Lord, we were born here, so we love this place, and we would love to see, God, you extend another generation, dear God, like you've done from time to time, like what my dad was a part of. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we just saw another miniature great awakening, just a grassroots turning back to Almighty God? We want that. We pray for it. Pray for our president. I pray for his salvation, Lord. I would love to see him get saved. Lord, I would love to see him and his wife get saved. I'd love to see their girls get saved. I'd love to see it happen while he was in office, dear God. What a wonderful thing. What a mighty thing that you might use. I pray, Lord, for others in positions of authority that need to be saved, God. Maybe there would be somebody that would begin to have influence in their life to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, I don't know what you're going to do, but I do pray for our country. And Lord, thank you for this church. And thank you, dear God, that each of us can look back in our own lives and see those moments, those monuments, those sweet and special places where you did something for us out of the ordinary. And we said at the time, we'll never forget it. And yet tonight, as I'm talking, the Holy Spirit is bringing back memories of things that have been too long forgotten. May we get back, dear God, to what we were, and what you did when things were simple. Maybe before we became so supposedly well-educated, may we be taken back to the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. We ask these things in his name.